Welcome to message 192 of all the parables in the Bible. We're going to talk about the millennium in this chapter, in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. We're going to talk about the devil. The millennium and the devil. Now, before I get started, I want to read what one writer read about the millennium. Not all Christians believe in the millennium. They're all millennialists. From eternity past, God made plans. With Adam, with Noah, with Abraham, Moses, and the church age that began at the seashores of Galilee. All the way to the end of the church age, there will be a tribulation period upon the earth for 7 years to bring Israel back to God and to judge the nations for what they've done and judge all false religion and bring it to an end, the final doom of all false religion called the Great Harlot. And then we have a millennial reign. Now let me read what this writer says. The millennium, a term thousand, actually in Greek is kelia, thousand eter, thousand years, refers to the thousand-year reign of Christ in connection with his return to earth. Some Christians believe the millennium will be an age of blessedness on the earth. Some believe the millennium is the present church age, a period of indefinite length. Still others regard the millennium as a way of referring to the ages of eternity in the future. The Bible's only specific mention of the millennium is the 20th chapter of Revelation, a book of visions and prophecies written by the Apostle John while in exile on the island of Patmos. Many Old Testament passages, though, refer to the millennium reign, as in Isaiah 11 and verse 4, Jeremiah 3:17, Zechariah 14 and verse 9. Interpreters differ greatly in their understanding of the millennial reign of Christ, when and shall it shall recur. The post-millennialists expect Christ's visible return to earth after the millennium. That's post-millennial view. They look for teaching and preaching to usher in a thousand-year reign of peace. Don't think it's going to happen, people. An age has already begun, without our being able to mark a specific date when it started. The premillennialists, on the other hand, believe that Christ will return before the millennium. Interpreting Revelation 20 literally, they hold that Christ will reign on earth, probably in Jerusalem, for a literal thousand years, according to the view God's promises made to the nation of Israel will be fulfilled. Satan will be bound and cast into a bottomless pit during Christ's reign, Revelation 20, 2 and 3, and all believers will be raised before the millennium to share in Christ's reign, Revelation 5 and 10, 20 and verse 4. The remaining dead will wait for the second resurrection, Revelation 20 and verse 5. Premillennialists also believe that after the millennium, Satan will be released for a season, but ultimately will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20 and verse 7 and 10. All millennialists interpret Christ's millennial reign as a spiritual sense only. While believing in the Lord's return, reject the literal thousand-year reign on earth. Some see Christ's reign as having begun in his life at the time of his resurrection. They cite Peter's declaration that Christ now rules from the right hand of God, Acts 2, 33-36. The kingdom promises to Israel are viewed symbolically as by amillennialists are applied either to the church or to the ages of eternity. Now, we're going to see many things in here that rival amillennialist and postmillennialist views. I believe in the premillennial return of Christ. I believe there's no replacement theology. Israel is Israel and church is church. Because of the Davidic reign, the Davidic covenant, an unconditional covenant, and the Abrahamic covenant, an unconditional covenant, Israel shall be still in the economy of God for 1,000 years. Israel was dispersed in Ezekiel 36, 16 through 19, and has been and is being regathered, Ezekiel 36, 20 through 24. The kingdom and the restoration of the kingdom age is Ezekiel 36, 25 through 28. Ezekiel 36, 25 through 38. So let's go there. Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I give to your forefathers, so that you will be a people, and I will be your God. Moreover, I will save you from your uncleanness, and I will call for the grain and multiply it, and I will not bring a famine on you. I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the produce of the field, that you may not receive again the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations, and that's what every child of God should do. Repent, repent, repent. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste places to be rebuilt. And the desolate land will be cultivated instead of being desolate in the sight of everyone who passes by. And they will say, this desolate land has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste of desolate ruined cities are fortified and inhabited. Isaiah 51 and verse 3. Ezekiel 31:9, Joel 2 and 3, Ezekiel 36 and 10. These are all part of this prophecy, and they are literally to be fulfilled. Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I am the Lord, and have built the ruined places and planted that which is desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like the flock for sacrifices, like the flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feast, so will the waste cities be filled with the flocks of men. And they will know that I am the Lord. And all of this is because that God remembered the unconditional covenant that they made with Abraham and with David. Revelation 20 and verse 1. And I saw the angel coming down out of heaven, having a key, a cleae, of the bottomless pit, the abyss, and a chain, great, upon the hand of him. That chain there is a symbol of authority. Now, the book of Revelation is a book full of metaphors, allegories, hyperboles, and parables. And here we have it. We have a real millennium, but during this millennium, Satan will have no influence upon this earth. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. All right? And we will see all this take place. Zechariah 14. Isaiah 11 are the requirements for this period of time. We could go and read every one of these scriptures in the Old Testament. We read some right now. The millennium is real. 1,000 years. The postmillennialists believe that God will be, that the church will bring in the millennium. People, Islam, is bringing in the judgment of God, not the millennium. We shall see. And I saw the angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss, and a chain great upon the hand of him. And he laid hold of the dragon. Now here we have several titles of Satan. He's called the Drakona, the Tanin in Hebrew, the dragon, and the serpent, the Ophis or the Nahash in Hebrew, and the old ancient one, which is the Diabolos, the destroyer, Satan. And the Satan, and he bound him, Kelia Ete, 1,000 years. 1,000 years. What happens here is an angel, he lays hold of the dragon. He binds him for 1,000 years, and he casts him into the abyss and locks him down and seals his doom for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the abyss, into the bottomless pit. And he shuts him down and locks him down. And he puts a seal of authority over him, in order that he might not lead astray any longer the nations or any individuals until the 1,000 years might be brought to a conclusion. Jude 6, 2 Peter 2, 4, Luke 22, 3, 22, 31, Acts 5 and 3, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4, and 11, 14, Ephesians 2 and 2, 1 Thessalonians 2, 18, 2 Timothy 2, 26, 1 Peter 5 and 8, and Ephesians 6 and 10 all refers to this individual. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28 tells what he's done to mankind and how he has thwarted his great powers to try to overcome the God of heaven. But God is going to lock him down. Now everybody in this world has got excuses for why we sin. We always say the devil made me do it, or whatever, you know, it wasn't my fault. Now, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. The book of Enoch. Enoch says that the world was made in 6 days, and thus man shall be on this earth for 6,000 years since Adam. The 6 days of creation were followed by a day of rest, and that 7,000 years, Enoch said, will be the millennium. The Epistle of Barnabas in the Doche on page 59 and page 179 talk about the same thing. Now this 1,000-year reign is called a golden age. Isaiah 11, 5 and 10 and 9, 6 and 7, 35, 1 through 10. 65, 17 through 25 and Daniel 2, 44 and 45. There will be at least 1,000 Feasts of Tabernacles during that millennial reign. Matthew 25, 31 through 48. The whole world will be free from war, free from famine, free from disease. All of this. The earth shall produce. The curse shall be lifted. The animal kingdom shall be changed. Animals will get along again like they did before the days of Noah. They will not eat each other. Everybody will eat grass. Everybody will be vegetarians again. And then it says, after these things, after the 1,000 years, the devil shall be loosed for a little while, for a little time, diminutive time. we will have the great change in the animal kingdom. The Lord shall be judge of righteousness, Isaiah 11:4-5. There will be no more sickness, Isaiah 33:24. Israel will have the promised land that God promised to Abraham onward. They shall have that land in Palestine and all over, all the way from the Euphrates down to Egypt, they shall have. Vegetation shall grow like weeds grow today, and there will be no more weeds. No more vile serpents. No more wicked fleas and ticks and lice and things that inhabit. No more trichinae. No, nothing as far as diseases go. People can live for 1,000 years. Women can have 1,000 children. A woman was designed to have 1,000 children. Eve probably did. 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and I sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and the souls of the ones having been beheaded. Now, what is the favorite execution of this one? But beheading. Beheading. When Muhammad went in and captured that Jewish city, he took all the men and all the boys that had pubic hair, beginning of it, he took them out and beheaded every one of them. He dug a big long ditch, and he had his men behead all of these people, and then they would disrobe them, they would throw them in a ditch, and then cover them up. Their wives and children, mothers and fathers, watched on. One old man, they asked him, you know, he was such an old man, they said, you can live. Muhammad said, you can live. And he said, no. He said, I have nothing to live for. You've destroyed everything I have. Everything I hoped and everything I lived for. So he was beheaded also. A very ancient man. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon the thrones, and judgment was given to them. And the souls of the ones having been beheaded because of the witness of Jesus. Daniel 7:9, 7:22, Matthew 19:28, John 14:19. Revelation 3:21, 6:9, 1:9, 13:12, 15:18, 5:10, 20:6, and 22:5. All refer to these people. People that died. Five out of every, according to the Word of God, 5 out of every 6 Gentiles will die during that tribulation period. And these are the ones that died believing in Jesus. 2 out of every 3 Jews will die. I don't know how many of them believed. But that 1/3 left, and that 144,000 are staunch believers in Jesus, whom they crucified. The witness of Jesus, and because of the Word of God. And it says, know not, they worship the beast. Remember now, Islam has eschatology as the Bible has eschatology. I believe the beast that rises is the same beast that is prophesied in the Quran, the Sunnahs, and the Ahadith. Islam says that Ahmadi, which is a direct descendant of Fatima, his daughter, shall be born. He will be called out of Syria. He shall be 40 years old when he begins to reign. He will reign for 7 years. He will be a reluctant ruler, but many nations shall swear allegiance to him, and he shall go out conquering to conquering, conquer to conquer, conquering to conquer, Revelation 6:1. Corresponding to the Hadith and the Sunnah. He will be accompanied by a beast. Now, the book of Revelation tells us about the beast, and God gives descriptions of them. Muhammad always wanted to do better. Now, Muhammad's beast is going to have the head of a bull, the ears of an elephant, the eyes of a pig, the horns of a stag, the neck of an ostrich, the front part of a body of a lion. His color would be the color of a tiger, a tail of a ram, the hips of a cat, and the legs of a camel, 20 feet between the joints. Quite a illusion. But that beast of Islam will mark every one of the true believers of Islam. And the authority of that name is there is no God but Allah. He has no companion. And Muhammad is his messenger. That's the authority of that beast. On their foreheads, in that banner, and on their arms, that banner, as all jihadists wear today. They will go forth with another companion called Isa, the Jesus of Islam, born of a virgin, but for one no reason, did miracles, and he shall do miracles again to prove that the beast and the Mahdi are true. For 7 years, this is going to go on according to Islam. The Bible says 7 years also. He will make a covenant with the Jews. They will move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem. They will build a temple, and the Jews will be able to worship there for a while. In the middle of that tribulation period, that person, the Antichrist, will stand in the middle of the temple swearing that he is God. And the Jews, when they see that, God's going to change their heart and they're going to flee, and God will protect them for 3.5 years from the Mahdi, the beast, and the false Isa, the false prophet. While the false prophet does miracles, their Jesus will do miracles in the sky and all kinds of things. And many will believe and receive the mark of the beast. But these did not. The witness of Jesus, because the word of God, and they did not worship the beast, nor the image of him, nor had they received the mark upon the forehead and upon the right side, the right arm of them. And they lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now these are tribulation saints. They're going to have a very special place with God for 1,000 years. They're going to rule and reign. Now, personally, I believe that the resurrected David will be on throne in Jerusalem. And God is going to reign from Jerusalem. Jesus will be with his bride for 1,000 years in that great, glorious city, which we're going to talk about. And the ones reigning, the dead ones remaining, not they lived until was completed the 1,000-year reign. 1,000 years. And this is the resurrection, the first. The first resurrection takes place here and here. This, all of the Old Testament saints and the church and the saved are all resurrected here. These that are saved during the tribulation period will be resurrected and put with the Lord and rule and reign with him. Only saved people will go into the millennium in their bodies, epitaskes, upon the earth. No person will go into the millennium that is not a believer. Jesus is going to slay with the power of his mouth every person that is not a believer at the end of this tribulation period. There will be at least 144,000 Jews, and these Jews and these Gentiles left of the nations that believed, they will go in and live for 1,000 years. Now during that 1,000 years, some will be executed because they will not believe, but all rebellion will be instantly put down. Now, 20 and verse 6. Blessed and holy the ones having part in the resurrection, the first resurrection. Upon these, the second death, know not it has authority. But they shall be priests belonging to God and belonging to Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This 1,000 years is over and over and over said. The 1,000 years is repeated over and over in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. That really 1,000 years is 1,000 years. The Lord wouldn't have used it so many times. Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Daniel 2, 44 and 5, Zechariah 14, 1 through 15, Matthew 24, 29 through 31, and Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and Jude 14 and 15. Now, 1,000 in Greek is kilia. 1,000 in Latin is milli. Years in Latin is atom, anna. And years in Greek is ete. We talk about 1,000-year reign. 1,000 years. It is real. 20 and verse 7. And whenever it may be completed, 1,000 years, he shall be loosed, Satan, out of the phylakes, out of the prison of him. And he shall be sent out, released out for himself to deceive and lead astray nations. Now, these nations that are here are the same nations that are on earth today. But the earth will be changed greatly. Now, where in the world is he going to get these rebellious people? People will know that there's a God. There will be no atheists in the 1,000-year reign. There will be no agnostics in the 1,000-year reign. There will be no rebels for that. There will be rebels in that 1,000-year reign, but they will not be able to stand. But they will rebel not because of Satan, not because of any demon, but because of their own Adamic nature. The Adamic nature is alive and well for that 1,000 years. That 1,000 years proves to mankind that they don't need the devil to sin. You don't need evil spirits to sin. We're sinners by nature. We would have done the same thing in the Garden of Eden that Adam did and Eve. We have that same DNA in us. That same spiritual rebellion in us. And he shall go out to deceive and lead astray the nations, the ones in the four corners of the earth. In other words, that's everywhere. And Gog and Magog. Now, where's Gog and Magog? This is not Russia. This is in Asia Minor. This is in what is known as Turkey or Armenia. These are Islamic nations, and that was the seat of the Islamic Empire, the Ottoman Empire, that sixth empire that ruled after Rome. And that shall raise again. Now, somehow, these same people will go out that are descendants from that area, even though they had to believe and they had to worship God by force, rod of iron. Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. But once Satan is turned loose, he shall go gather his own to assemble them unto the war. And this is the battle of Gog and Magog at the end of the 1,000-year reign. This is Armageddon over here. This is the battle of Gog and Magog over here. And the war of whom the number of them as the sand of the sea. Now people will multiply in that 1,000-year reign, especially when they have no disease and there is no death. And there will be thousands and thousands and thousands live, born during that period of time. And not one of them will die unless they rebel. As the sand of the sea. Like the promise of Abraham, your seed will be like the sand of the sea, your physical seed, and like the stars of heaven, your spiritual seed. And they went up over the breadth of the earth. They encircled and come up and camped around the saints. The city, having been loved, it came down. And fire out of heaven. And it devoured them. Ezekiel 38, 9, 16, 22, 39 and 6, Deuteronomy 23, 4, Psalm 87 verse 2 in Revelation 13, 13. Like in the days of Elijah, when he called down fire out of heaven, Jesus shall send fire out of heaven to devour these armies. And the devil, Diabolos, the one deceiving them, he was cast into the lake of fire where the Mahdi and the false prophet and that Jesus, Issa, are already forbidden for 1,000 years. Of the fire and sulfur were also the beast and the false prophet, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hemeros kai nyctos, eis tu sionos sonion. Forever and ever, ages upon ages upon ages. 20 and verse 11. And I saw a throne great, white. This great white throne, judgment, is for all of the lost from here all the way to here are going to be judged. That's a great white throne judgment. Now, when we're judged by Christ, we're judged according to what good deeds we did after we've been saved, and we're rewarded for what we did. And we will have different categories in heaven and in hell, according to what they've done. There will be terrible places of torment and places that are not quite as bad. And what we call degrees in hell and degrees in heaven. I think those that will suffer greater are the false prophets that have gone out and led people astray. Jezebel will be there. Jezebel was a liar and a perjurer. Remember when she took Naboth's vineyard and had people testify against him that he had cursed God, and she had him stoned, and old Ahab got Naboth's vineyard? She's been suffering for that ever since in Hades, but now she shall suffer in hellfire. Muhammad was suffering today in Hades. Joseph Smith, Charles Taze Russell, Mary Baker Eddy, all these are suffering. Garner Ted Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, all of those that have led people astray by the thousand and kept them from the grace and the mercy and the salvation of God shall suffer greatly for every one they have led astray. And I saw a throne great white, and the one sitting upon it, from the face of it the whole earth fled, and the heaven, and the place not it was found for them, the judgment seat of God. Romans 14, 10 through 12. This is the throne of eternal justice. There will be no foul play here. No pribes, no pleads. Nothing but guilty people that thwarted the grace of God and led other people away from the grace of God. God created the heaven and the earth, Genesis 1 and 1. The earth, she became formless and void and chaos. God rebuilt and reconstructed the earth and set it back in order in Genesis 1. God shall purge, purify, and restore and make that new, renovated heavens and earth. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. And I saw the ones dead, the ones great and the ones small, having stood before the throne, and the scrolls, they were opened up, and another book, it was opened up, which is the book of life. And they were judged, the ones dead, out of the things having been written in the scrolls according to the works of them. Not one of these people are going to be rejuvenated. Not one of these people are going to be penally corrected and ever go to heaven again. It's gone. It's over with. There will be no more chances. Many good citizens and people will be citizens of eternal hell according to their deeds. There are many good people in the world today, that don't know, that won't know Jesus or don't know Jesus. But they will be eternal citizens of hell without Jesus Christ as your Savior and Him alone. And the sea gave up the dead ones in her. And the death and Hades, they gave up the dead ones dead, and the ones in them, they were judged, each one according to the works of them. No man will ever go to hell because of sin. They will go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. But once they're cast into hell, their deeds, their works shall follow them. And the death, the second, the Hades, they were thrown into the lake of fire. See, Hades is where people are held today. And people, every unbeliever from Adam all the way down to now, and all the leaders of the unbelievers are held in Hades today. That's a temporary holding place of torment. It's not purgatory. It's Hades or Sheol. But everyone will be resurrected out of that place and be thrown into the eternal lake of fire. And they were thrown into the lake of fire. This one is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone, not he was found in the book of life, having been written, he was cast into the lake of fire. Our Heavenly Father, I pray if there's one out there that don't know you, that hasn't repented of their sins and come into the saving knowledge of your Son, that you will, with your Spirit, convict them today. Whether they come to you or not, it's up to them. And I pray if one's out there and not serving you like they ought to, that they will see the need to do that. What they do today has eternal bearing on what happens forever. Father, forgive me where I fail you. Wherever these words go, Father, I pray that they glorify you this day. And they bring fear in the hearts of the unbelievers, that they will come to you. Forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.